This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
This is Tim Russ, Lieutenant Commander Tuvok on Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey. I'm your co-host, Zachary Frueling, and with me, as always, are...
Suzanne Williamson and...
Liam's mom.
Suzanne and Liam, it's great to have all of us together again.
It is.
Such a rarity, isn't it?
It's been a while.
It has been a rarity. We've tried and failed to get all three of us in the same podcast recording session.
Yeah, it's either if one of us is on holiday, another one of us is on holiday, someone gets the phage, you know, someone gets space herpes, someone ends up, you know, not being able to fall in the right time zone.
Liam, I hope that was self-referential.
The space herpes? Yeah, I've got all the space STDs. I really don't. That's terrible.
Sure.
Oh, wow. Space syphilis.
You're in college. It's to be expected.
Space syphilis does sound nice, though. It has like a ring to it.
No, it doesn't.
Well, I derailed this already, haven't I?
Tangents are what we do. Well, today we are going to be talking about the best farewell moments in Star Trek Voyager. And there's a reason we're going to be talking about the best farewell moments. I have an announcement to make. This is going to be my last episode of To the Journey. I am handing the show over to you two guys to continue the journey.
To run into the ground.
To destroy.
To run into the ground.
Like Troy piloting the Enterprise, here we go.
To the ground. We'll rename the show.
To the ground.
I think if anyone has been keeping To the Journey afloat, it is not me.
Well, it hasn't been me.
Oh, I mean, I'm the one that nags and tells everyone what to do, so.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It will be sad to see it go, Zach, because I've listened to you in the car since episode 190. Had some exciting little episodes, especially the progenitors. I loved those.
88 episodes of To the Journey ago.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I feel like quoting Doc Brown right now? 88 episodes!
I've got no idea what you're talking about.
Oh my god.
You still haven't watched those?
What is it?
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. Oh, no, I've watched the first one. I'm sorry.
I can perform all of them for you right here, right now.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
Okay.
Screw whatever episode we were talking about. Let's make Zach's farewell episode an embarrassment of Back to the Future quotes.
You know, it is bittersweet to be leaving To the Journey. I was so excited to come on board as host of To the Journey. To the Journey was the very first podcast I ever listened to. I had no idea I would be hosting it someday. Mm-hmm. Suzanne, you and I have been doing this now for about 4 years together. We've only done 88 episodes in 4 years. So that says something about how productive of a podcast team we are. But we've had some major successes. We won a Parsec Award
we
together
did.
And for Trek FM. And I'm extremely proud of the work we've done on To the Journey together. And the wonderful thing about podcasting is it's not really ever goodbye. Those episodes are evergreen, and people will be listening to them for the foreseeable future. So if you miss me, just back up a few episodes and hit play.
That's right.
Took a few thousand years to get to the Delta Quadrant.
And as Spock said, history is replete with turning points, and you must have faith that the universe will unfold as it should.
Aw, I like that.
Thank you, Spock.
Was that normal Spock or beady Spock?
That was normal Spock in Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country.
Well, Spock also said, the women! So I don't know how much I can take him seriously.
That was pretty good, Suzanne.
The Undiscovered Country is one of the least watched films that I've watched, if that makes sense. Like, I think I've only seen that one once, compared to some of the others like Wrath of Khan and First Contact, etc. I've watched a lot more, but yeah, Undiscovered Country and Generations, I think I've only watched those once.
Undiscovered Country is pretty high on my list. There was such a hype about it, I remember, when it came out. I guess we should actually probably talk about Voyager.
But what's wrong with Generations?
Let's talk about Undiscovered Country. I loved Generations when that came out. I was really excited about Generations. There was a lot of hype about that. Next Generation had just ended, and there was going to be a feature film. It was all the buzz.
Yeah. And I think it's because, obviously, the overwhelming majority of those films were out before I was born, and then when I was less than 10. So I haven't seen them other than on DVDs. And
stick the knife in a little further and twist some more, okay?
So I started off when I was watching them all. I was almost like binging them from like the motion picture, Wrath of Khan's, Search for Spock, etc. Then I got up to Star Trek V, I think it was. And I'm like, okay, yeah, this is interesting. And then I decided I would go backwards from Nemesis Insurrection.
Don't say bad things about Star Trek V. Haley and I will have to, take a plane over there and show you what's what.
I'm not saying bad things about it, but I was sort of over.
Haley's making a face from 20 feet away.
No, I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just saying that I was sort of like over those, and I wanted to go to the TNG ones. And then I think when it got to the point, I just didn't really get to the middle very well. Maybe I should rewatch them soon after I've finished this dumb report. Oh my god.
Didn't you just finish a dumb report?
Star Trek films are like ice cream. Even bad ice cream is pretty good.
Unless you're lactose intolerant, and then you're not.
Or it's got like that protective layer of ice because it's been in the freezer too long.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's Star Trek V.
I do not wait to consume my ice cream long enough to discover or experience that, Suzanne.
Star Trek V is the freezer burned ice cream of Star Trek movies.
Wow. Yeah, that's definitely a strange tangent.
Yeah, we went off the rails immediately.
I was thinking that since it's my last episode, it's kind of a farewell episode. It would be fun to talk about farewell moments in Voyager. And when I first raised this idea for a topic, you guys said, are there that many farewells in Voyager? But it turns out there were quite a few farewells, even one that might count as a good riddance or an FU in addition to being a farewell.
Yeah, I was actually quite surprised.
I couldn't think of anything but the two obvious ones. I'm like, did we say goodbye to anybody else? And I could not count unexpected deaths, because that's not really a farewell.
That's not really a farewell. Farewell connotes like some touching words or some sort of words, right?
And you're not unexpectedly dying either. So, like, it wouldn't match off the episode. But
no.
The only ones I could really think of were, you know, the two obvious ones. But then I was thinking of real life, which was the unexpected death of, you know, the Doctor's holographic daughter. Yeah. So I didn't want to include that one.
Oh, that's a good one.
You've come out with some really good ones, Zach.
I forgot about that one, though. I have quite a long list, and I'd forgotten about the Doctor's holographic daughter dying.
That just makes me cry so much.
Yeah, I kind of skip over that one on rewatches because it just hurts.
The whole episode? Because normally I just leave out the last, 8 minutes of real life.
Well, see, I can't do that. I can't just watch it and then be like, okay, I'm done. No.
But you know she's dying, right?
I know. That's why I won't watch it. Just like I saw Man on Fire once with Denzel Washington, and well, it's been out for a while. He dies.
Spoilers.
I lost it, and I will not ever watch that movie again.
Really?
I saw that once, you know, shortly after it came out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, haven't seen it since.
Yeah,
I don't think it's because it'll make me cry.
I don't know what it is.
I was a mess. Don't kill my Denzel.
But you know, you guys know I'm in the minority. I like the episode Unforgettable, for example, and you guys don't. And so I don't cry at that moment.
Unforgettable. That's what that episode is.
That song that's like an instant flashback song for me. When I was a teenager, like when I was age like 15, 16, I worked at a local coffee shop in my hometown. And one of the albums we had was the Natalie Cole version of Unforgettable. And we played that over and over and over again. So the second anyone says Unforgettable, it's like instant flashback to, you know, circa 1995 for me.
Was it also the mix where they put in Nat King Cole with her?
Yes.
I love that. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yes.
You have homework to do, Liam. Listen to that song.
I think this whole episode so far is homework for Liam, isn't it? But yeah, no, I wouldn't say that I dislike the Unforgettable episode. It's just not one of those ones that are like, oh, I must rewatch this one.
Talking about that song, I know what my grandparents must have felt like when they try to get other people excited about like big band music or something. And we're, you know, we younger people are like, whatever, we don't get it. Liam's like, I don't know, I get no context, never heard it.
I mean,
I like big band.
Me too. Because I spent a lot of time with my grandparents.
I hate big band. It's not, it drives me mad.
I think because it was always like on the Golden Girls. So that's what got me into it.
You like big band music because of the Golden Girls?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
I think I just like listening to 90s and noughties pop just because it's hilarious and like grunge. So.
Excuse me, are you picking on my flannel shirts right now?
You know what I really miss about the 90s? It's not one thing in particular, but it's like the whole cultural gestalt of the 90s. You know, some people were like, you know, really negative and grunge and kind of pessimistic, but there was this whole other side of the 90s, which was the optimistic internet culture, you know, economic boom, technology improvements, and Star Trek Voyager is right alongside it. It's such an optimistic show, and it really is in line with the optimism of the 90s, which was a relatively peaceful time in world history.
Yeah, there was also Daria.
And there was Daria as a counterpoint. Speaking of counterpoint,
she was the alter ego me animated character. That was me.
I don't remember much of the 90s.
I wouldn't think you would.
So, but I mean, to what Zach said, yeah, it was interesting to see what people looked like and how they dressed from the 90s. It makes me laugh just because, you know, it's the time when I was only between the ages of 0 and 9.
I'll tell you what, when this episode actually drops, I will jump into the Babel conference and I will drop a picture of what I looked like in the 90s.
Please do.
Oh, Lord.
You know, you've committed to that now.
Haley's saying, don't do it.
You've committed to that now, and Suzanne is definitely leaving that in the episode.
I've committed to it. I'll do it. The only question is, do I go with mustache or no mustache?
You had a mustache?
Mustache picture from the 90s. I did, yeah.
Was it like a handlebar or like...
No, it was just a mustache.
That's the 1890s.
And my hair was quite poofy at the time. It was kind of large poofy hair and a mustache.
Yeah, Zach, are we, Suzanne just said, are we talking about 1990s or 1890s?
No, it was
1990s. The 1890s would be the handlebar mustache.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Now, going back to Unforgettable, I wanted to like the episode when it came out because I was a big fan of Virginia Madsen from Candyman and Dune. So I was excited. And then
I haven't seen either of those.
Yeah. Did Me you neither. See Sideways? She was in Sideways.
Nope. Oh, wait. Yes. I hadn't made that connection, though. Yeah.
Yes. Well, she wasn't in it when the episode came out, but afterwards. Anyway, so I really wanted to like it because, yeah, I liked her in other things. No. The whole pairing with Chakotay, no.
I'm not sure it really counts even as a farewell because at the end, neither one remember each other, right? So I guess what was touching to me is that they have to help each other remember each other.
Well, she remembered
sort
him.
Sort of.
What was that?
Yeah, she remembered him.
By the very end of the episode? Wasn't her memory wiped of all their experiences together?
I thought it's when she leaves.
I thought her memory was wiped and then she left, and Chakotay's going to forget her, and so he tries to write everything down real quick.
No, his is going to be wiped and forget.
Right. I thought she was zapped by the other bounty hunter's, wipe your memory gun.
Killing. Yeah, I honestly can't remember.
How cool would that be to have a weapon that makes people forget stuff?
Oh, some of that the things I'd like to make people forget. That would be great.
Yeah, look right here. Big flash, huh?
Yeah, like, I guess it's like the thing in Men in Black, right? The
little Men in Black.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd like to have a weapon that makes people remember things that didn't actually happen. And
a false memory implanter?
Yeah, that would be interesting.
She did get shot with the thing.
So this is Men in...
So they're both going to forget each other, right?
So this is basically Star Trek Men in Black. Okay.
And you know I'm a writer, because I love these kinds of scenes where Chakotay goes old school and he busts out a pen and paper and tries to write everything down with a pen. And I love when Neelix says, what's with that old writing utensil?
Well, didn't he steal that from Janeway?
That pen?
Well, that was
the
idea.
Fattest pen. Oh, the idea.
I guess they're not used to using pens, so they have to use like a toddler pen.
Yeah, it's like a jumbo crayon he's writing.
It's like those big things you used to get at fairgrounds with the giant pencils and that.
Right.
With the giant rubber on the end of it.
Oh, so wait, did Chakotay get that idea from Janeway? Did I miss that?
Well, I know she's writing stuff at one point, and I can't remember what episode. Where's Patrick when I need him?
It's really bad. I haven't seen this episode for like 4 years. And I'm also looking at the transcript for the wrong episode.
That's not going to help you.
I'm like, I don't remember.
I can't find it.
I don't remember this being a Harry Kim episode. Then again, I don't remember it at all because it's entirely forgettable. So, yeah. I mean, I will say, the one thing I do remember from this episode, and look, it's not the goodbye. I do remember that the actress who played Kellen was really good. And... Mm-hmm. It was very convincing between the two of them, I thought.
Then why are you guys always dissing on this episode? What's the deal?
Chakotay. I think it's just become a meme, to be honest. You know, like how Threshold's a meme for ridiculousness, and I think Star Trek V is the one that is always thought of as the weird movie. You know, it's almost become like that thing that people go to. It's like, oh, Unforgettable, the forgettable one. When realistically...
Yeah, see, I didn't know I was supposed to hate this episode.
You're not supposed to. Like, it's just like no one's supposed to hate anything. It's all up to someone else's opinion or their own opinion. But at the same time, yeah, I think it's just become a meme. And if you like it, it's great. If you want to.
You know I like space romance. So.
Yes, we do.
Well, not to take an episode away from Chakotay, but I think it would have played better if it was Harry.
Yeah, but we got maybe. That in Ashes to Ashes and the disease. And
yeah. I know, but that's Harry's thing. He finds love and then he loses love.
Love in all the wrong places.
Yep.
Chakotay doesn't do in love very well. He kind of, he doesn't have much fire about him.
Hey.
About it, right? Hey. Does he?
Hey.
I don't think so.
Have you heard the Angry Warrior legend? There's fire in that.
Once... In 7 years, we see fire from Chakotay.
Okay, I'm still trying to find where she wrote something. Because I can remember her writing.
I can't either. I can't remember.
Because she's in Da Vinci's workshop doing it.
Oh, yeah, that could be. Mm-hmm. I forget what she's writing or working on.
I don't remember why she did it.
I wish I had this encyclopedic memory of all things in Voyager, but I never... No matter how many times I watch Voyager, I'm not going to have that kind of memory about it.
Oh, no, exactly. That's why you need Patrick Carlin.
I know.
Some people do. Some people are like, you know, and people have complimented me about it. People have told me, like, oh, you seem to know all the things about Voyager. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I really don't. Either I look them up beforehand or I gloss over them. Nope.
I mean, I have to sit and do a fair amount of
found it, found it, found it. Captain Janeway went into, I hate when it moves. Why did it show it and then it took it away?
This very long episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Suzanne.
Googling.
Suzanne, trying to remember the episode.
After defeating Species 8472 and delinking 7 of 9 from the Borg Collective, Janeway went into the program to write her log with ink and paper.
Yes!
I remember that. Scorpion Part 2.
Yeah.
Scorpion Part 2. Yes, I remember that. We watched that just a few weeks ago. So, yeah.
Yeah. That was with the Da Vinci program.
In preparation for our Borg two-parter with...
The thing that I edited, yes.
For our
The thing Suzanne edited and edited and edited and edited. Yeah.
That would have been a pain to edit that one. I really like... Are we still on Unforgettable or have we moved on?
Yes. Yes, we are.
We can be. Okay.
I just like what Neelix says at the end of the episode, though, when he's talking about love to the commander, like to Chakotay. You know, that, you know, I don't think you can analyze love. It's the greatest mystery of all. No one knows why it happens or doesn't, and it's a chance of combination of elements. And any one thing might be enough to keep it from igniting. A mood, a glance, a remark. And if we could define love, predict it, it would probably lose its power. I'll let you finish. Like, he's talking about coffee then. But, like, it's just some of the kind of things that I never would have expected to come out of Neelix's mouth.
Yeah, that's...
He sounds so old and wise. Compared to, you know, the comic relief Neelix from the beginning of Voyager.
It should be Tuvok saying all this.
That kind of thing is more likely to come out of Chakotay's mouth than Neelix's. But it's like, oh, well, Chakotay's the one that's been afflicted by it, so... Let's just give it to...
I don't know. I'm struck by this very thing in the later seasons of Voyager, how much Neelix really does kind of become, I don't know, the Greek chorus, you know, spouting wisdom to everyone.
I mean, considering what his character was meant to be at the beginning, it's almost like a complete flip-flop of what he was supposed to be.
But then he flops back a little sometimes.
Well, he lets his hair down.
The hair on his feet? Ew.
He lets the hair on his feet down.
Oh, no. Oh, that's just gross. Now you've just got me thinking of, like, matted feet or, like, ponytails coming out of feet. And oh, this is gross. Please
hobbit
move on.
Hobbit feet.
Oh, I can't stand feet.
Yeah, he does have hobbit feet.
I can't stand feet, ever. Like, big toes are like toe thumbs and, oh.
But seriously, you know, Neelix likes to party in the resort program and other environments. And he is the party animal on the ship.
He likes a bit of rummaging around a Klingon too. So
that's one way to put it. Rummaging.
He's trying to be PG.
If memory serves, doesn't he organize Ancestors Eve?
He does organize Ancestors Eve.
Right. Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's actually a pretty essential part of the crew.
He's the morale officer.
That's what he's there
all
for.
All his pricks and celebrations.
Well, so much for that unforgettable episode called Unforgettable, which you guys think is forgettable, but I think
I forgot it already.
Unforgettable.
What episode?
Good one.
All right, where are we going next, Zach?
Well, the obvious farewell is when Neelix himself has to leave Voyager. Well, chooses to leave Voyager. Doesn't have to leave Voyager. Chooses to leave Voyager in Homestead.
He needed
a
lung.
That's the one that comes immediately to mind for me as a farewell.
Well, that's because one of the main characters that we've seen for 7 years has decided to leave the ship before the end of the series. I still don't understand really why he would have left, because, I mean, I don't understand how long they were actually at that, like, asteroid thing. I think it's weird that he actually decided to say goodbye. Yes, there's a whole bunch of Talaxians, and he was like, oh, I probably won't see a Talaxian again if I don't stay here. But realistically, like, why wouldn't you stay with the people that you've been with for 7 years?
So you would think that whatever her name is, the Talaxian female and the Talaxian...
Brax?
Kid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Brax the kid.
I'm so bad at names. You envisioned them coming on board Voyager instead of Neelix leaving Voyager.
Not even necessarily, no. Like, I would have just
I don't see them coming on.
I don't envision a... See, I'm all like Mr. Romantic. Like, of course they have to be together. They have to be one or the other. Either Neelix has to leave or they've got to come on board. Which is it? You know, and you're like, you don't envision any of it happening at all.
But like the whole idea is kind of like falling in love with someone and then moving to the other side of the world on a complete whim. You know, and it's like, how do you know that person's not like some kind of psychopathic nut job?
Stop talking about my husband like that.
I'm sure Fred's fine.
It happens.
It does.
Really?
Give it a few years, Liam. It happens, yeah.
I just didn't get it because we saw his character grow and come to see these people as family, and then he's just like, peace.
This is part of, I mean, this is Neelix's growing up journey, right? Yes, he's an adult and everything, but, you know, this is part of his character development. He starts out pretty immature at the beginning of Voyager. He matures, becomes this sage, wise person, and then he's got to break out as an individual. He's got to go be himself. He's got to leave his family, like we all do at one point or another.
I still say he was after
it's
the
lungs.
It's
a whole metaphor for growing up.
No,
he knew his lungs ready to give up, so he needed to start procuring other lungs for replacement.
Yeah, right.
I mean, yeah, that lung is almost nine.
Yeah,
he actually snuck off with one of those Vidian transporter thingy wickets and took it with him, going to search for some replacement Talaxian organs.
What juicy lungs you have. That's just gross. But
it was a pretty touching send-off, though. It was one of these, you know, this is like... You know, you kind of expect this in Star Trek. Someone leaves the ship and it's an all hands on deck, walk down the corridor and everyone says goodbye kind of moment, right? That's, you know, it couldn't be more stereotypical of a, you know, Star Trek goodbye than this episode.
But I feel like...
But of course, we get to see Tuvok shaking a leg.
Shake his groove thing.
Do his groove thing, yes.
See, I think that when you're talking about the whole standoff when they're all standing down by the corridor, that's a deserved... Mm-hmm. Standoff and departure kind of scene. I mean, that's one of the things that annoyed me a little bit about Discovery. And don't get me wrong, I love Discovery because obviously I'm on the edge. But there were so many of those scenes in season one or two of Discovery that weren't really, you know, like, what's the word that I'm looking for? There were so many of those scenes in Discovery that weren't earned. Whereas in Voyager, with Neelix being on the ship for 7 years, that was an earned and well-deserved
scene. He's
earned
it. Yeah, exactly. I've been here for 4 years. Are you guys going to stand up for me at the end of the episode? You know, and the listeners at home won't be able to see it, but you know, for the benefit of me watching you guys.
Well, if we stand up, you'll just see like torsos.
Stand up for me.
Yeah, well, you'd get a crutch. You'd get a crutch shot, and that'll be a whole different kind of episode.
That's not what I had in mind whatsoever, Liam.
trust me to take it the wrong way. Anyway,
of course.
Yeah, and his, as you were saying, his little dancey toe maneuver and feet maneuver with Tuvok, that was pretty sweet because, you know, Neelix and Tuvok were almost like the paired odd couple.
Well, they've been the odd couple for 7 years, you know, sparring off of each other. And I love that Neelix still calls Tuvok Mr. Vulcan even after 7 years, after he mistook Vulcan as his name instead of his race.
Yeah, no.
Either that or he never really learned Tuvok's last name and he still thinks it's Vulcan.
Tuvok Vulcan.
Like Vulcan is his surname?
Yes. He never bothered to learn his real name, so he's just
it's like everyone calls Leonardo da Vinci. They call him Da Vinci, even though Da Vinci is like where he's from, not his surname. You know. So
imagine if all the alien races that are in Star Trek that their last name is their species name. So you've got like Tuvok, Vulcan, Kes, Okumpan.
Okay, well, Seska would have been a giveaway right there. Seska
Cardassia.
Jordan and I watched The Search parts 1 and 2 recently for Deep Space Nine. Mm-hmm. And she's like, is that Seska? And I'm like, yeah, that's Seska the Romulan. He's like, oh, I thought she was Bajoran and Cardassian. So she's Romulan now too.
Obviously, she did a lot of other undercover jobs.
Little known fact is that Seska is actually played by Jeffrey Combs.
Jeffrey Combs.
It all makes sense now.
Every character is Jeffrey Combs, even Neelix.
Okay, so why was he never in Voyager?
He was in Voyager. He played the guy in Tsukansi, didn't he?
Did he?
I think so.
I think that's right. I haven't thought about it in quite a long time. I'd have to look it up.
Star Trek.
I'm not Googling this stuff.
As we said in the 90s or the late 90s or early 2000s, Google it.
That's what I'm doing. Here we go.
Actually, in the 90s, it would have been more like, you know, go to Alta Vista and ask Jeeves or something.
I remember Ask Jeeves. Oh my God.
You know, the search engine I liked was Webcrawler.
Yes, with the little spider in the corner.
Yeah, that's the one I used to. That was my go-to search.
He played Pink in Tsukansi. Yeah.
All right. I thought he played the Rocks character.
My Jeffrey Combs, you were a bit taller and musclier recently. Like, have I seen you on some kind of WWE thing?
He just lifted a few weights that day, that's all.
Just three. One, two, three. Buff! So, yeah, I mean, obviously, that Neelix's goodbye is probably the biggest sort of goodbye that we see in Voyager.
Well, I like those kinds of goodbyes. And some of my favorite moments in Star Trek in general are like this. Like, I'm trying to think, like, maybe in Star Trek Nemesis, you know, after Data is dead, they're putting the ship back together. And you know, it's like they're putting the ship back together. They're going to be back on the ship and the adventure goes on. Just because someone dies, just because someone leaves the ship, doesn't mean the adventure doesn't go on. And I love that we have a couple more episodes of Voyager even after Neelix leaves.
And just because someone dies doesn't mean they're dead. Data, yeah.
Kirk, not a Voyager.
Spock, Harry Kim.
The two episodes afterwards. Obviously Endgame, because it's the season finale, but we had Renaissance mm-hmm. Man, I think it was, that was in between Homestead and Endgame. Do you think Homestead would have had more of an impact if it was earlier on in the season 7? In terms of like, oh, then they could still contact Neelix throughout it, or do you reckon that's just because, you know, contracts?
I think, you know, every time they make one of these major changes, a character leaves, this, that, or the other thing, it's nice to dwell on a little bit and see how that mm-hmm. affects everyone and affects the show. And, of course, they didn't really have much time to do that, although they did at least get to bring Neelix back, you know, on screen in Endgame. So you got to see that there was still some communication and he was still in touch with everyone mm-hmm. and they were still being a family, even though he wasn't there anymore. It's kind of like these coronavirus times, you know. They're still webcamming. They're still video chatting. They're on Zoom, space Zoom. Yeah, they just have to be, you know, self-isolating while they're at it. Yeah. So,
quick snap poll. Suzanne, would you prefer Neelix to cook for you or Chell?
Chell.
Chell? Zach, Neelix or Chell?
Neelix.
Oh.
Oh. I see Leola root in your future. Lots of it.
Oh, yeah. Give me those exotic ingredients. Yep.
Chell is my man.
I mean, you can have... with Chell, you can get, like, all those pun food items that he made.
Exactly. It would be like Bob's Burgers in space.
Wow. Don't Bolians like... Oh, no, that's something else, actually. No, don't worry about
He'd
that.
He'd make me something like Zachary's zucchini or something. I don't know.
Zachary Keeney. Well, that could be Zach wearing a bikini. That's not quite right. These are the things that go on in my head that I should just not talk about.
That, everyone, is what you have to look forward to in the future of To the Journey.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of episodes that Suzanne and I have done by ourselves, and they've sort of deteriorated into being eaten by a shark. So,
I love you, glub, glub, glub.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
So... since you guys are the Waterworks crowd, did Neelix's departure make you guys cry?
Nah.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
No, it really didn't. I thought, oh, Neelix is gone.
See, that one kind of, you know, if that could make me cry a little bit, maybe.
No, I was angry. I was like, why is he leaving?
I mean, yeah, it's
show's almost over.
I think it just didn't make sense. I mean,
it really doesn't. I mean, Neelix, he wants to try to help his people out, you know. He feels some obligation to stay and help.
But Voyager is his people.
I feel like he's just going to die if he stays there, though.
It's an asteroid. What are they going to do?
It's like, oh, let's go to the surface for a holiday. I just think he's very, like, is the word in... What does incredulous mean? That's the word that's, like, a bit impossible, right?
Could be.
You mean incongruous?
No, I'm trying to say is, like, why the hell are there... Talaxians that far away from Talaxian space, though. Like, it's a bit like...
Oh, yeah, because Voyager's been going... You know, maybe Neelix was just far away from Talaxian space at the beginning of
Voyager. Incredulous is unwilling or unable to believe something.
Oh, then I'm... Yeah, that's like exactly the right word that I was looking for. Yeah, it's just like, well, I think they've just clearly written some Talaxians in to give Neelix a reason to leave.
To get rid of Neelix.
So that they then have a reason for... there being an outpost in the Delta Quadrant, but they weren't going to be going back to this storyline, so why would they have needed a... Oh, anyway.
Except in the books.
Yes. Do you want to say it one more time, Suzanne, whilst Zach is on the show?
# read the books.
All right. No, now that I'm not going to be doing all this podcasting, I'll have plenty of time to read the book, so I promise, Suzanne, I'll read at least one.
because there's a new one coming out soon.
I'm only halfway through Full
the
Circle.
The last one that Kirsten Beyer is writing.
She's not, oh no.
Do I? Is it one of these ones where I have to read like 10 other novels just to make sense of what the hell
not
is going
on?
Not 10
of them, but seven. A handful.
See, I don't have time for that. Who has time for that? Why do they write novels like that? Just give me one little standalone novel that I can wrap my head around.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
This from the man who watches endless hours of Anne of Green Gables.
That's a whole different matter altogether.
But you'll watch that hours and hours of that, but you won't read books.
Did you ever get around to watching Anne of Green Gables, by the way, Suzanne?
I tried.
I sent you the bloody DVD.
I tried. It is not my thing.
Well, you're lost.
All right, Zach, where are we going from Homestead?
I want to hear your guys' picks. You guys said you had a couple. So tell me what you got.
Go on then, Suzanne.
I thought of the obvious Tuvix. We have to say farewell to Tuvix, which I didn't
know. I don't know how I didn't think of that one.
Mm-hmm. That's such an awkward farewell, though.
That's worse than a farewell. That's like farewell and I'm dying. So, you know.
It's Captain Janeway being like, go away.
It's such an awkward episode to talk about because I know that we have very different opinions on that one, Suzanne.
Yeah.
As I know about you, Zach, what your thoughts on Tuvix were?
Well, it's hard not to approach it from a Metatrek standpoint. You know, the two main philosophical issues, of course, the ethics of killing one person to save two people. Mm. And then, of course, the interesting, you know, phenomenology or philosophy of mind of what it means for two consciousnesses to be conjoined into one. That's interesting in itself, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I is it an emotional episode? You know, yes, you know, if you're Tuvix, it sucks to be murdered to save Tuvok and Neelix, but...
Yeah. Do you think...
It's not really fair. I mean, they almost march him to the transporter room in irons, right? I mean, it's...
Well, no, they might as well just put something around his neck.
He says, like, come on, walking.
Right, exactly.
Dead man on the Green Mile.
Dead man on the Green Mile, yes.
The one I liked was the one in Ashes to Ashes with Jet Liar / Lindsay Ballard. No? Because, I mean...
I could...
For a farewell moment?
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously she's...
That's on my list.
Notwithstanding the fact that it's a whole weird idea that the Kobali steal dead bodies to procreate or whatever.
That is creepy.
Which is weird. The whole idea that, you know, Lindsay's managed to come back to the ship and then, you know, sort of renounce and change back into a human form as opposed to a Kobali form, but then struggle to keep it there and found that she's not going to be able to do it and then ends up deciding to go back to the Kobali.
So they have to say goodbye to her twice, once when she dies and once when she leaves.
It would have made more of an impact for me if we actually knew her.
Yeah.
Like, throw her in a couple of episodes beforehand. Doesn't even have to be much. Just a little bit of here, a little bit there.
I think they did such a good job of making it plausible that everyone really knew her. Like, her friendship with Harry Kim seemed totally natural, even though we'd never seen it before. It seemed as if she had been there the whole time to me.
I agree with you.
But I wasn't invested. I was like, I don't know you. Why should I care?
I mean, it's the fact that she says that, oh, I'm not the same person you were in love with 3 years ago. It's like, well, really? They were in love? We didn't see that.
No, yeah, because he was still harping on one of the Delaney sisters and his girlfriend back in the Alpha Quadrant.
Yeah, at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I did like how he tried speaking Kobali.
Yes, that was touching, even though he messed it up. I forget what did it really mean? Something about a comet, right?
The comets are tiresome.
The comets are tiresome.
Well, they can be.
I suppose when...
He didn't get the inflection right, you know?
Yeah. Was it, they said, like, VNK de Bala, I think I wrote down, or something like that, he tried saying. Not that my Kobali is any good either. I got an F for Kobali in high school.
Your Klingon is much better.
Apparently so, yes.
Yeah, I actually heard a hybrid of Australian and British and Kobali all in one there. Good job on that, yeah.
I mean, it's a gift. That's I know. But I thought that was kind of cool, especially, I mean, obviously we didn't really know anything about Lindsay Ballard before in any previous episode. But they, Garrett Wong and the actress who played Jet Liar, they did it. I agree with you, Zach. They did a pretty good job of convincing that they had a relationship, because especially how Kim was not wanting to let her go to the point where he would potentially just fire on the Kobali ships against the orders of Janeway and Chakotay.
Yeah, the actors just had such good on-screen chemistry together. It was completely believable for me.
And I love
it. It speaks to Garrett Wong's acting ability to be able to pull that off. And we didn't get to see his great acting talents all that often on the show because they didn't give him much.
No, that's true. Yeah. More so than Chakotay he got, though. Oh, yeah. Robert Beltran.
Oh, poor Robert.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was my, well, one of my picks anyway, Ashes to Ashes.
But that's a double whammy of a goodbye. You know, first she dies and then she leaves and they have to say goodbye all over again, so.
It's like Kirk in Generations.
It's like Kirk in Generations, yes.
Do you know what might have been a bit better is if, like, that episode where the Doctor lost his mind, Latent Image? I mean, there was probably meant to be connections to that episode, potentially.
Oh, you're saying maybe it was supposed to be the same character?
Yeah.
Or I know it would have made sense.
I know it wasn't, and I don't think she was named as Lindsay Ballard in Latent Image. I will
that
have.
That would have been cool.
An investigation. But, I mean, then that would have been cool. And it's like, oh, you know what? Bit of continuity in Star Trek Voyager. Latent Image. Here we go.
That should have happened.
Because it was only... No, see, Latent Image was only the season before... Ashes to Ashes, I think. And I'm trying to remember. It was Jatal, Ensign Jatal. So yeah, there was no connection whatsoever. But if they had that connection, that would have been good.
That would have been really good.
Especially, it would have had even more power in Ashes to Ashes than if the Doctor had 50% chance, you know, to save Kim. Mm-hmm.
Continuity in Voyager?
No.
So
unheard of.
It would have been good, so...
Not happening.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, that was my point.
Okay. I did have another one. Quinn.
Oh, good one. Speaking of goodbyes that are really more like goodbye forevers, because I'm dying.
But he did it of his own volition, of his own will, with the help of Q, but... Still, it was his farewell to advance his people.
He should have left a suicide note or something.
Well, didn't he write the thing in the Continuum newspaper?
Yeah, that's true. That's something like, yeah. So that's like a suicide note. Wait, is that... I haven't watched it in a while. Remind me. Does that happen towards the beginning of the episode or is that after the fact?
That happened... At the end of the episode. That happened when he was starting to try and kill himself in different ways and it wasn't taking him.
Right, okay.
And then he's on the run and Q's chasing him. Yeah.
I remember now.
Did
you find this an emotionally moving farewell on the part of Quinn? Were you emotionally attached to Quinn, Susan?
I liked Quinn. I wanted him to stay. I wanted him to be part of the crew.
It was so interesting to see a different kind of Q. I mean... We've seen Q before, you know, in the Next Generation, there were a couple of different members of the Q Continuum, but this was like a really fringe Q.
Yes.
Fringer than Q, who's already a fringe, right? So.
I can't even remember the episode name.
Death Wish.
That's it. I was like, it's not Deadlock, it begins with D. And yeah, but yeah. I think the whole episode, I wouldn't say that it was definitely like a moving farewell for Quinn in Death Wish, but... Probably the whole episode itself is just a very, very interesting, thought-provoking episode. So I think I was probably more caught up in the whole idea of the episode, you know, over the 40-odd minutes as opposed to just the farewell.
The philosopher in me likes the fact that he drinks some sort of, like, space hemlock. They call it hemlock. It's some kind of hemlock. So he's like, you know, space Socrates.
How did he get it from the replicators?
Nobly drinking the hemlock.
Oh, Q gave it to him. Okay.
Do you think we should have had more Q episodes in Voyager, other than the three that we got?
No, I think that was
yes.
enough.
No, I disagree. I think he was a much better fit for Voyager than when they tried to bring him on Deep Space Nine.
But he left you wanting more, and that's good instead of oversaturation.
Yeah, I can see back to your point. I definitely agree about the Deep Space Nine thing, but yeah, it could be oversaturation. I do kind of wish he wasn't trying to get into Janeway's pants, though.
I think Q's mischief and his just the quality of his character was such a good match for Voyager's lightheartedness.
Mm-hmm. That and Mulgrew and Delancey play so well off of each other.
Yeah, they do. Well, the thing is, they're both so campy with each other. Like, mm-hmm. they get into serious overacting mode with each other. They're hamming it up together big time when they're on screen together.
Janeway's eye rolls.
The eye rolls that Janeway has, and Q kind of, you know, aggrandizing everything. Yeah.
It's funny.
They feed off each other really well. But it's all stage act, and they're essentially doing, you know, they're miming everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, you go now, Zach.
Predictably, you guys could probably guess I'd put this on the list, but Tuvok and Nos in Gravity.
Yeah, you like that one. And we were talking about that last week as well.
Suzanne's like, oh, of course Zach puts that on the list.
Of course.
I see it. You're rolling your eye, doing a Janeway eye roll at me right now, Suzanne.
But it gives me a chance to talk about Lori Petty, so that's okay.
Yeah, who I just made the connection. Haley and I just watched A League of Their Own. I didn't realize that she was in A League of Their Own. I was like, oh, that's nice.
And Tank Girl, and Point Break, and Free Willy, and I can go on and on. Lori Petty is freaking amazing.
I haven't seen any of those other ones you just mentioned, so.
Have you seen Orange is the New Black?
No, I haven't watched that yet.
Because she's been in that, too.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Along with Kate Mulgrew?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Interesting.
So we had a fair bit to say about Gravity in the last episode. Suzanne, do you remember much about Gravity?
Spiders. Eating spiders. I remember that.
Yeah, gross.
You know, for a Vulcan farewell, Tuvok does a pretty good job of emoting in a Vulcan kind of way.
A Vulcan farewell is nothing like a Vulcan hello, is it?
No, a Vulcan farewell is quite different from a Vulcan hello. Yes.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
Like, success. I mean, if you really want to hear my thoughts about how Tuvok was saying goodbye and his struggles with it, yeah, just go listen to the previous episode of To the Journey. It was good to see Tuvok struggle with his emotions, even with the goodbye. Going from Gravity...
I'm actually surprised how many of these farewells are like space romance farewells in Voyager. I don't think of Voyager that way, but there are quite a few here.
No, actually,
it's the space love boat.
The space love boat.
Yes.
Where's Brandy?
Oh, I can play it.
I need the song.
I can't remember what number of The Edge it was, but listen to The Edge episodes
so much.
Brandy has done with the space boat. Nick and I tried to beat her space boat, but I don't think we did with our Klingon drinking song.
Yeah, it was good, but it's no space boat.
It's no space boat, exactly. I just got another quick little one before we go to somewhere else. Is Rainn Robinson and Tom Paris in Future's End? I thought that was
speaking of
space romance
farewells and Voyager. Yeah,
your space.
This one's remarkably Earthbound, though.
Well, yeah, and remarkably 90s.
Very, very, very 90s. Yeah.
So,
in fact, that episode is a really good snapshot of the 90s. You know, if just from the costuming and the scenes and everything going on, it's all and the technology stuff woven into the episode. That is like 90s par excellence.
And the language, Freakosaurus.
Freakosaurus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your spaceship is waiting.
You could, if you wanted to learn about the 90s, you could just watch that one episode and you would get a pretty good snapshot of the 90s.
One thing that this episode does represent as well, not only from the fact that we're just watching, you know, Rainn Robinson leave, it also is a goodbye for us in terms of not getting a bloody decent character come on the show. In terms of having Sarah Silverman on as a recurring actress within the 20s.
Yeah, that would have been a really good move to bring her on as a full cast member.
So like watching it's like, oh, goodbye. I wish we could have had you for more episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine what Voyager would have been like had they I guess kept Cass?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Cass would leave and maybe Cass would leave and we just have Sarah Silverman instead. Rainn Robinson.
Have both.
No 7 of
why
9.
Why not both?
Volcano Los Dos.
No, why not all three?
Why not all three? Why not all three? But I'm, you know, I was just thinking of making one change at a time rather than changing all of these things at a time.
Well, Suzanne, when we get to season three of our rewrite, we'll keep Sarah Silverman.
Yes. Now, I do have a question about this.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with the farewell or anything like that. Why did they give Tuvok just a hat to cover up his ears? Why didn't the doctor do some type of reconstruction?
Wasn't it like one of those bandana things?
Yeah, but still,
like
the doctor
Hogan
can
style?
Do
yeah.
all this reconstruction surgery to make other people look like Ferengi, but he can't hook up Tuvok with some round ears.
I think that was probably just playing on what they did with Spock in Voyage Home. Mm-hmm. That's probably just harkening back to that.
We already know the doctor can do these things. Come on.
So, narrowing the focus just a little bit, what do you think yes. of the actual goodbye between Tom Paris and Rainn Robinson?
What do I like about it?
Yeah.
It's just realistic, you know? And minus the fact that it's like, oh, I've only just met you, but I feel like I know you, or whatever the line was, I'm paraphrasing. Didn't like that bit, but I think it's probably more because it's two humans in the 90s that you sort of just feel a little bit more connected to it. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not like Harry Kim and an Alien of the Week. These are two humans on Earth in the 90s. You're right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's just that and the fact that I wanted Rainn Robinson on the show more. But
and again, they just had good on-screen chemistry together. You know, Voyager had some good guest stars. Voyager knew how to do guest stars.
Well, I mean, yes. they kind of yes, needed they did. To do it because if they're traveling across space, they're, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, well, that's me out of ideas, but carry on. Oh, well, it's not. There's one more obvious one that I guess we could do, but I'll let you introduce that.
Oh, one of yours is on my list?
Oh, no, I've run out of things. Yeah, it is. It's the Kes one. But.
I know what it is.
You have any more, Suzanne?
No.
Wow, see, I came up with a lot more. Okay, so I've got...
I'm doing what you did last week.
How about Kes having... I mean, we're talking about Neelix leaving the show. What about Kes leaving the show?
I know.
Twice.
That's a kind of farewell.
Twice.
I'm still traumatized by this one.
Yeah.
But why doesn't that come immediately to mind like Neelix's does?
Oh, it does.
Oh, no, I thought of Kes immediately.
Oh, okay.
I just didn't want to go straight to the obvious.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Kes leaving traumatized me because not traumatized as in like horrific emotional trauma.
I love this idea that you're still traumatized by it.
I wanted Kes.
Yeah.
Forever. Well, until she died. Mm-hmm. Like, she could. I was talking to Jordan about this. We were shopping the other day, and I'm like, you know what? Endgame could have been totally made better by having Kes the reason that they got home. She dies, mm-hmm. let off all this energy, and then they make it home.
That would
like,
be so
cool. Like, she
dies
in a burst of, you know.
Kes energy.
Kinetic energy. Kinetic Kes energy. She propels Voyager across the galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that would.
And they make it home. That would have worked.
Or they could have kept the Borg aspect to it and put Kes in there somehow or whatever. But she had. She was a character that they built solely to last the length of the show. And they just killed all that off by getting rid of her in season 4, episode 2 in The Gift.
Mm-hmm.
It was very disappointing. And that is my very, very strong opinion about it.
Yeah, it would have been nice to see the entire arc of Kes's lifetime in the course of Voyager. That would have been
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That would have been, and they did her such a disservice by bringing her back as that angry Kes in the Fury.
I liked Fury because we got Kes back, but the story is probably not. It could have been written better.
Yeah, the story was
see, that's my,
a disservice
that's my
to the character.
Yeah, really, Fury.
Yeah, there's nothing about Fury that works for me.
Fair.
Mm-mm.
In terms of Kes leaving as part of the storyline, I thought it was nice. It was really quite sad, her trying to get to, I guess, the shuttlecraft with Tuvok trying to take her and things blowing up. You sort of feel sad for some of the crew who don't get to say goodbye either.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was probably one of the more... I found it more emotional saying goodbye to Kes than it was to Neelix. Because of the way it happened.
I'm more emotional about Neelix. And I feel like Kes's departure was the turning point of Voyager. It's what turned Voyager into the show that I like.
They could have just still got it. Sorry, Garrett Wong, if you're listening. You're probably not because you're too busy with your own podcast and don't listen to us little people. But we should have got rid of Harry Kim. if we had to get rid of someone.
We were supposed to.
That was the original plan.
I know. And
that's why he had the tendrils up his nose. They were going to...
Still...
Tendrilize him?
Still very salty about that. So...
He still has that tendril up his nose. He never got it out.
Is that what that is in all the pictures? I was wondering. Yeah.
Okay, so it's interesting that I actually don't find Kes's departure all that moving, because I like Kes, I really do. But I didn't find her departure emotionally traumatic. I was much sadder about Neelix's departure, and maybe it was just the way they handled it. I think they handled it much more gracefully with Neelix.
You know, it's weird because I don't know whether this is true or not, and it could just be me speculating, but I kind of feel guilty about Kes leaving, even though I've done nothing to be guilty for, because I just wonder whether, I mean, we've all seen the news stories about what's happened with Jennifer Lean, how she sort of had a few mental health issues, etc., that whether any of this was born from getting the chop from Voyager so quickly. And part of me feels that a little bit guilty about that, that everyone's like, oh, 7 of 9, yeah, because, yeah, Jerry Ryan did a wonderful job, but Kes and Jennifer Lean sort of have been forgotten in a way.
Well, I certainly didn't help with her mental issues.
It wouldn't have done. And I know she pretty much quit acting.
It could not have helped, yeah.
No.
And, yeah, so part of me feels a little bit guilty about that, and that's probably why I get so headstrong about Kes's goodbye.
So another one that is quite moving, even though it's really early in Voyager's history, is when Janeway and Chakotay say goodbye to Voyager in Resolutions.
Technically, Chakotay said nothing.
That's true. It was actually all Janeway.
It was all
goodbye.
Janeway.
Yeah, and Chakotay's like, yes, here's my chance.
So close.
It's like, want a bathtub, Janeway? I can whittle you a bath. Anything else I can make for you?
He does turn into quite the manservant in that episode, yes.
Can you just imagine, though, like, if they actually made them a couple? All standing out of this episode.
Yeah, I'm with Suzanne on this one, yeah. We're both sighing.
I mean, I've said before that I'm for them as a couple in terms of the relationship. Not maybe necessarily in terms of command of the ship, but they could have removed Chakotay from being the first officer.
And he could have just been the counselor.
He would have been a good counselor because he's been through a lot. Mm-hmm. He's been through a lot.
So Tuvok, I guess, would slide into being first officer?
Yes. Yes, he would.
If that happened in your...
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know that and
version of this?
Yeah, yeah, okay. I agree. I would say that.
And Chakotay becomes the counselor and or... There's not enough people to counsel on Voyager. Like, what does he do all day?
Oh, Harry needs somebody to talk to all the time.
They all need someone to talk to.
Between all of his breakups and between all
Tom
of his
near-death has issues. B'Elanna has issues. Neelix has issues.
That's a sounds like a full-time job. Is it just
most of the lower
there?
Decks have issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All the Maquis, former Maquis, at least for a while, have issues. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At least till the end of season one.
But then again, they have issues when they find out most of the other Maquis are dead.
Yeah. That's true.
That's going to bring up issues.
Yeah, they could have had him talking more about potential family stuff.
Yes.
Would he stay on the bridge like Counselor Troy did?
Yeah, I can't see why not. He would, or he could be in Janeway's ready room all the time.
Yeah.
They could have turned his...
In the ready room.
Because it's a small ship. He doesn't have his own office, so he's got a corner of Janeway's ready room as his counseling office. That big couch there.
But yeah, only 5%.
That becomes the
up on the platform, that's Chakotay's office.
Wow, that's a tip.
I like it.
Yeah. I think what most people would be sad about that one is the saying goodbye to the potential relationship between Janeway and Chakotay, because that was the episode that it was supposed to start in.
Ah, yeah.
Suzanne's crying, everybody.
I just still disagree with the episode title, Resolutions. Nothing was resolved.
Yeah, why is it called Resolutions?
To mess with my head.
Do you reckon something was meant to be resolved, but it was
the
cut?
The title doesn't make any sense at all, you're right.
Mm-mm.
What could that mean?
Because even the Doctor's romance in that episode was not resolved.
Yeah.
Like, was it Voyager, the crew of Voyager, promising to keep working to try to cure the disease so they can go back and rescue Janeway and Chakotay? Like, we resolve to not forget about you, kind of? Is that what it means?
I don't know, because pretty much everybody forgot except Harry that was whining about it.
That's true.
Yeah, they're like, hey, just move on. Yeah, do you know what? That's maybe they've cut something major. Maybe they were supposed to resolve the relationship and there was supposed to be some kind of big sort of emotional scene at the end. Oh, wait, wasn't there meant to be?
Just like they were supposed to have that scene in Hunters that they didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
The one that made it into the trailer?
Yes.
Yeah, right. That
one. Oh, was that in Hunters? I thought that was four resolutions.
That was in Hunters.
Oh.
That's when she gets the letter from Mark.
Oh, yes.
That's a different kind of farewell right there.
Yeah, exactly. What's your next one?
I've got Harry Kim and Tall in The Disease.
That's just like Harry Kim saying goodbye to Jetliar again, well, isn't it?
There are a few of these. Like, you know, Harry Kim's romance of the week that he has to say goodbye to. There are a few of these.
Mm.
Well, didn't Harry Kim have to say goodbye to his fiance because of Space Starbucks, dude?
Oh, yeah, that was in...
Libby?
Yeah, Libby. That's her name. I can never remember her name.
Mm-hmm. That was in that Latin name episode, wasn't it?
Back in San Francisco, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was in season one, wasn't it?
Could have been.
Two. I think it was season one.
It was a Latin named episode, I think, wasn't it?
A Latin name? Like...
Oh, I've forgotten what...
I shall translate if we can figure out what
the... It wasn't... It was around the time of Ex Post Facto, but... season...
Let's see.
One Voyager.
I'm going to pull up the list of Voyager episodes right
now. Now everyone has Googled on this podcast.
I can't even spell Voyager. Fucking hell. Voyager.
I know, listening to us Google is so riveting.
Listen to those keys. Tick, 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 tick.
Non sequitur.
That's it. Is that Latin?
It is.
Ah, see, I told you it was a Latin episode.
Like, it's like it doesn't follow. A non sequitur is something it doesn't follow. It's, yeah, right, so.
Yeah.
So who doesn't follow? Harry doesn't follow? Or Libby doesn't follow?
I think the scenario doesn't follow.
Or Space Starbucks, dude.
Just the whole scenario doesn't follow, I think. Something wasn't quite right. But, yeah, I don't remember much about The Disease other than it being like a giant ship, and I thought that was cool. I probably never really had much of an impact from him saying goodbye. And at the end of
I quite like non sequitur as an episode.
Oh, I was talking about Disease, but yeah.
Oh, I'm...
But non sequitur as an episode is, yeah, it's fine.
I should have put that on the list, too.
I liked seeing Tom being down on his luck, Tom.
Tom in his natural state.
Yes.
One thing that you got on your list as well, Zach, which I totally didn't think of, maybe because I don't like the whole idea of Tuvok being in this kind of scenario, is when he said goodbye, or when... You know, Admiral Janeway said goodbye in Endgame.
It's a kind of goodbye. She knows she's not coming back.
She knows, and it's really sad that he has got no idea.
Yeah, he doesn't believe that it's really
him. No one comes to visit him anymore.
It's like Captain Janeway only comes on Tuesdays or whatever.
Yeah.
And Lieutenant Barclay's visits are erratic, as he says. Mm.
It's like, therefore, blah, blah, blah. That was kind of heartbreaking. I did not like the fact that Tuvok was put in that scenario because it's a... Again, it's just about, oh, look, we just have to write something in.
Yeah, it's a stupid plot device to create some...
Because that started previously.
Did it?
We knew Tuvok was starting to have that issue.
When, though? I don't remember that.
Google it!
Yes.
Welcome to the next latest episode of To the Google.
To the Google.
Where we go to the Google many a times. Okay, we will Google Tuvok's space brain. No, brain issue.
It would be Spock's brain.
Spock's brain. I mean, or do you mean...
They actually leave Tuvok's brain in him, you know, as opposed to Spock. So.
Do you mean riddles or flashback or...
I honestly can't remember when they introduced the...
It's not flashback.
Got this disease.
I want to say around the time when Tom makes his holographic wife.
Tom made a holographic... Oh, that was in...
T'Pol.
T'Pol.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's have a look. Tuvok, USS. Oh my god, there's so much on Memory Alpha about Tuvok. Maybe I'll just find disease. Here we go.
I don't recall the name of the disease. It's not Bendai syndrome. That's Sarek's thing.
That was Sarek.
Yeah.
Okay, it is learned during Endgame.
Yeah.
That he has degenerative neurological disorder.
I thought they introduced it before.
Okay, so it must have been beginning of Endgame.
Yeah. Yeah, because he failed to win a game of
Very beginning.
Kaoto with what's his face? Ichab.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just something that was written in for that episode. So it's like another one of those thing over the weeks that we find out. That's probably why I like if that was written now, that would have been worked out to be what was happening in Endgame, and they'd have introduced that way at the beginning of season 7. If that was written now,
or season 5.
Mm.
That's the thing that bugs me about Endgame. They have to introduce a couple of these, you know, weird ad hoc kind of plot devices to give Admiral Janeway some motivation to go back and change things. Because honestly, life on Voyager isn't all that bad. Yeah, a couple people don't make it. But, you know, is Tuvok having this degenerative brain disease and, you know, Chakotay, you know, and Seven of Nine both being dead, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, is that enough for what, you know, why is that enough to motivate her to go back and make these changes? They squeeze these in to give her some motivation to do what she's going to do in the episode.
And why not Joe Carey?
Well, somebody please think of Joe Carey.
Exactly.
How come he doesn't get a goodbye? Doesn't get a farewell. He doesn't get a, you know,
they don't
do a
walk
down the corridor. They don't shoot him off in a photon torpedo tube.
He doesn't get nanoprobes. He doesn't get anything. They don't try to.
They don't even try nanoprobes. They always try nanoprobes in Voyager.
I know. No, nothing. Just, oh, we got shot. Oh, too bad.
You got a problem? Nanoprobes.
It's like, oh, you got a pimple? Nanoprobes. It's like on The Simpsons, Dr. Nick. Hi, everybody. Hi. Get your latest nanoprobe for $9.99.
Bad. Only if Troy McClure is selling it.
Troy McClure. Yeah. It's like, I don't have anything to say about the One Small Step episode, because...
Well, I just found it kind of is it a touching goodbye? I don't know. It's an interesting moment. Like, this, you know, 21st century astronaut is on this mission to Mars. His spaceship gets stuck in a spatial anomaly. He's getting, you know, swifted away into the Delta Quadrant. You know, at some point he ends up in the Delta Quadrant. He's not going to make it back. He's running out of resources. He's injured. He knows he's going to die, and he's recording these log entries. And at some point he's got to become conscious of the fact that he's recording his final log entry. You know, maybe it's a message back to Earth if the message ever gets there. I think he doesn't even know if it'll get there, but he hopes it does, and he's recording his final goodbye. I think is it particularly moving? I don't know. It's an interesting goodbye. You know, we're all going to be there someday. Like, you know, you might be conscious of, like, you might be on a plane, your plane's going down. Like, here it is, goodbye, everyone. You send a final text message, right? I mean, we all could be in that situation someday.
I suppose when you look at it that way, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, I wish I remembered more of the episode. I'm sure. It's really difficult because, I mean, I haven't seen this episode in 5 years, and it's one of those, you know, when you're binge-watching something, you don't really remember everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those episodes. It's probably more forgettable than unforgettable to me.
You know what it reminds me of? I've been reading up recently on Roman epitaphs and funeral inscriptions.
Oh, yeah.
Like ancient Romans, they would carve a lot of interesting information about themselves on their tombstones and monuments. More so than we do. We do like names and dates and maybe a sentence. They would carve like an entire little vignette into their headstones. Yeah, a lot of them, but not all of them, you know, especially if they had money, you know, bigger monument, carve more into it.
Says at the end of it,
But this reminds me of like, you know, someone telling their own little, you know, Roman epigraph and giving their final goodbye, you know, not carving it in stone, but sending it off into subspace.
At the end of every Roman epitaph, there would have been things like, nanoprobes did not save them.
The nanoprobes failed.
There's even a charming one to a Roman dog.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, here, I'll find it real quick. Yeah, it's
super. So you have time to read all of these, but no time for the Voyager novels.
No, I have no time for the Voyager novels, but I do have time for this, yeah. Let's see.
But there's romance in the Voyager novels.
There's no romance in the one that I'm reading now, but I'm only half... Oh, wait, there is. The whole thing about Janeway and Chakotay. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm very close to finding this monument to a...
I'm actually looking forward to hearing this dog epitaph.
Okay, here it is. This is a Roman epitaph for a dog on a tombstone for a dog. I am in tears while carrying you to your last resting place, as much as I rejoiced when bringing you home in my own hands 15 years ago.
Is that... that seems a bit extreme for a dog cemetery, a dog epitaph.
The Romans really like their dogs, actually. Yeah.
Oh.
I would do that for mine.
There was even a Roman mosaic of a dog, and it was found in Pompeii. It was a mosaic of a dog, and under the mosaic, it said in Latin, carve canum, or not carve. Is it carve? I can't remember. Hold on. I'm going to find it. It literally means beware of the dog. Cane canum. That's not it either. I'm embarrassing myself in Latin.
Leave this in, Suzanne, so he can embarrass himself.
Let's see. I can't remember the word. That's the problem. I'm going to find it here. Oh, it's like caveat emptor. So cave canum. Beware of the dog. Like buyer beware, but beware of the dog. Carve canum. It literally says cave canum. It literally means beware of the dog. You know, we think of that as a modern phrase, but mm-hmm. yeah, 2,000 years ago, mm-hmm. beware of the dog.
Oh, fair. Is that cool?
I would be more aware of the volcano that's going to explode and, you know, kill everybody.
Cave Volcanis?
You think they would have written beware of the volcano, yeah.
Like, volcano.
It's like, put the dog in the top of the volcano.
Cave
Volcanis. No dog sacrifices.
I was so close then. I said Cave Volcanis. So I was close. Is it Volcanum for volcano?
It depends. I'd have to look it up. It depends which declension of a noun it is.
Oh, okay.
What ending goes on it. So I'd have to look it up.
Okay. And then your last one that you've got on your list, Zach, is...
Getting back to actually talking about Voyager. I just think, but I guess that's my whole point was just that this is like, you know, imagine sending your last text message, giving your last voice message. You know you're going to die and you've got to say something. It's like your moment to... sum up your life because that's the last chance you've got. That's the kind of moment that we see in this episode. And I find that interesting.
Okay.
Just like I find Roman epitaphs interesting.
Fair cool.
Okay. So I've got one more, and that is, it's not really a farewell. It's more like a good riddance. Janeway and Kashyyyk in Counterpoint.
Prax!
Yes.
That is great, though. Oh, what is... Okay. Now I'm going to have to Google something.
Oh, Lord.
No. There's a reason for this. You carry on talking while I Google about this. You're not talking.
I got nothing. I just think it was an interesting... You know, most Voyager goodbyes are fairly...
upbeat. Emotional.
They're happy, upbeat, you know. Even if they're sad, they're kind of upbeat in their sadness.
I really like how...
Yeah, this was like,
get off the ship, yes.
I really like how she turns around all sassily and she's like, I never lied to you. My offer was to take you... No, wrong one. Sorry, delete that. I had to take a few precautions. You understand. It's like, yeah, take that, asshole.
There's one line in particular that I like. I have to Google it. So hold on.
Yeah, it's pretty funny the way that she says goodbye to him in this, because they actually had a relationship, but she clearly didn't trust him. And then for him to be outwitted by Janeway, yeah, it's pretty cool. I have cargo containers full of vegetables.
Yes, vegetables.
Okay, so I've got it. Kashyyyk says, there's no wormhole here. You created false readings. Janeway says, that is the theme for the evening, isn't it?
Yeah. There's a good little play between the two characters in that she clearly didn't trust him. She knew it. Yeah, she was hoping, you know, that she could have a bit of a bonking.
Yeah, not only do they have a good kind of emotional connection at the beginning of the episode, but they can match wits and words by the end of the episode.
Mm. Mm. It's pretty cool. And then, as you say, it is a bit mm-hmm. of an FU come the end of the episode.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, it's pretty great. So, yeah.
And that's the last one I've got. So is my farewell more like a good riddance, you know?
No.
Glad to be done with you.
No.
It's an Elix.
Aw, thanks. Seriously, it has been a pretty good run, Suzanne. You know, we've been doing this together for 4 years. It's amazing.
I can't believe it's been that long. It doesn't seem that long.
I feel like we should have done more episodes, but it was hard to.
Life happens.
So. Well, life gets in the way.
Especially when we're not being paid to do it.
Metric. A paycheck to do it would have been helpful, Chris.
Yes.
But seriously, Zin, I'm so very proud of the work we've done together, you know, what we did together with Kay and, of course, now with Ulium, but, you know, and then, of course, the episodes you and I had on our own, Suzanne. We've seen a lot of change in 4 years, actually, and
we've
lived life together in 4 years by remote, so. But, you know, goodbyes aren't, you know, we know this is Voyager. If there's any show where a farewell is not a true goodbye, a true farewell forever, it's Voyager. This is all about To the Journey. So you guys are going to do awesome things. I'll be tuning in. Let me know if you want me to come back on from time to time. I'll be around. I'm still doing Metatrex, by the way. So, if people listen to my other podcast, Metatrex, that's persisting and going on. So you can still find me there. So I'm not really going away, just kind of downsizing a bit.
As long as you don't come back as Angry Kess.
Oh, I would love to come back as Angry Zach, like Angry Kess. Yeah.
Radio. Are you going to actually listen to us, Zach?
You know, it's funny you say that because I don't actually listen to podcasts much anymore. I spent most of my podcast time while I was commuting, and I don't commute anymore, and I'm doing other things during the day, doing a lot more writing than I had been rather than podcasting. So if you're curious to see the kinds of things I write, you can find my website, just my name, ZacharyFruling.com. I'm spending a lot more time doing that, but I'm not listening to podcasts. So no, I'll tune in and listen. Of course I will. It's you guys. I'm going to listen to you guys.
Sure.
But I don't listen to podcasts in general much anymore. Yeah.
We're going to rename the show Off the Rails. Or literally.
Off the Rails?
To the Google, probably, you know.
To the Google, definitely.
So, but yeah, no, it's been nice for my, 10 shows that I've done with you, Zach, but I'm sure we'll have you on in the future.
Well, the nice thing is a show like To the Journey, and lots of shows are like this, you know, on TV, it could be like late night talk shows where the host leaves and a new host takes mm-hmm. over, like when Jay Leno took over for Johnny Carson. Even like Mystery Science Theater 3000, hey, you know, doing that with a new host, the show survives and persists, and it's going to be different. You know, every host brings something new to it. So To the Journey will go on. I won't be here, but the show goes on and the show must go on. So I hope you guys do amazing things with it. And, I was just glad to be a part of it. You know, really it's not something I would have predicted when I first discovered To the Journey, and it's been an amazing, interesting ride. You know, I've accomplished things and I've become more theatrical. I like leaving these artifacts in this Roman sense, like, you know, in some way, all these podcasts I've done, you know, 89 of them here and, you know, almost 100 of them on Metatrex. These are part of my epitaph. These are part of the things I leave behind. And, you know, when I'm dead and gone, someone will listen to these podcasts and have some sense of who I was. And that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Unless the grid goes down and then nobody has any power or anything.
A la Revolution.
I'm sorry. Walking Dead just took over my brain for a minute.
Unless the zombies attack.
Yes. The grid goes down. We have no power. Nobody can listen to podcasts.
Yeah, that's why you got to write them down. You got to take the transcripts of these podcasts and chisel them into your tombstone. Really small letters.
Can you imagine if someone transcribed all of these shows?
You know, I thought about doing it. It's really time consuming. I've tried doing just one of my online class sessions, and it's taking forever just to do one of them. To get a really good, well-edited transcript takes hours.
Oh, God. Well, good luck to anyone who wants to do that.
That is not what I will be working on, so... Well, it's been fun talking about farewells in Voyager, and of course, giving my own farewell to all of you listeners and to you, Suzanne and Ulium. But this isn't the only thing we've been discussing on the network, so here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek.fm.
Previously on Trek.fm, Earl Grey.
I guess what I'm seeing is that we're taking some of these later Borg ideas and kind of retconning them back into the best of both worlds. It's stuff that's not necessarily
there. That is exactly what's happening, because I remember mm-hmm. Picard saying, like in First Contact, I can hear their voices.
Hear them.
You know, right, but that's a first contact, yeah, way thing, further right, than where we are. So, oh my goodness, what our mind does. Crazy.
Literary Treks.
And suddenly now there aren't dozens of movies in the Kelvin universe. So it's not such a critical matter for original novels to be set in that universe to come out. When I was writing The Unsettling Stars, which was not the original title, but that's what we're going to call it because that's what it is, I was very much aware of the two films that JJ had done, and I purposely wrote a book to do something that would not in any way that I could think of conflict with anything in the first two films.
Primitive Culture, a look at history and culture through Star Trek.
The corona epidemic is shocking. I mean, it's the, you know, we're having some of the most extreme measures being taken in, you know, living memory. I mean, you know, since the Second World War in this country, in many respects, the kind of things people are being asked to do, the level of involvement of the government in people's ordinary lives, totally unprecedented, certainly in, you know, our lifetimes, and frankly in the lifetimes of most people who are alive, you know, in this world at the moment. So there is that kind of sense that just when you think you're done with history, something happens and sort of reminds you that that everything's not maybe as stable as it seems.
The Edge, a Star Trek Discovery podcast.
I don't want them to look like original series Klingons or like Next Generation Klingons or even like Enterprise Klingons. I don't want that. I want them to look just modern. Yeah, you don't need to try to match an aesthetic from 20 to 50 years ago. You really just don't. Don't do that.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on your iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop podcast app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and a written review. It really does help us find more listeners. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, and most third-party podcast apps. And you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link if you're one of those people that uses an RSS link.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose message to a Trek FM show and select to the journey. That'll come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at trekfm and on Facebook at facebook.com/trekfm. So Zach, when everyone's standing up for you on your departure, where can we find you on the internet?
Well, even though I won't be here on To The Journey, I'll still be on Trek.fm. You can find my other show, Metatreks, which is dedicated to Star Trek and philosophy. You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Frueling. And like I mentioned a few minutes ago, you can find me on my website if you want to follow my blog and read some of my writings over there. It's just ZacharyFrueling.com. And how about you, Suzanne, when you're not saying goodbye to Voyager so you can snuggle up with Chakotay, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the Trek FM network?
Well, you can find me popping up in the bagel.
The bagel
conference. You can find me popping.
The bagel conference.
Like bagels.
Yeah. Bagels someone are remembers tasty. The cream cheese.
Extra schmear, please. You can find.
How has that joke never happened in all these years?
You can find me popping up in the Babel conference occasionally. You can also find me on Twitter. My handle is KJaneWay8. And on June 14th, I will be part of the Connected Community Con. It's a free community event designed to bring congoers, artists, content creators, cosplayers, and vendors together, since we all can't go to cons right now. It's being brought to you by the people at Science Division that make those really cool tribbles, Jay and Kaylee. You can find out more information by going to sciencediv.com/pages/connected.
Cool. Sounds good.
And Liam, When you're not using a toddler pen to write out a personal log, where can our listeners find you on the internet and around the network?
You can find me at Twitter at LS74656. You can find me in the, apparently, the Bagel Conference is now what it's going to be called. And you can find me on The Edge, a Star Trek Discovery podcast with my friends Brandy Jackler and Nick Collinson, where we talk about so much stuff that I have to edit out because of content warnings.
If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm to get all the details. You could gain a producer credit for To the Journey or any of our other Trek FM shows. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm. A special thank you to our associate producers, Bruce Lish, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, and Norman Lau. Thank you for your continued support of To the Journey and Trek FM.
Well, be sure to tune in next time when Suzanne and Liam will be beginning the next leg of the journey. But until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Google!